Mr. Potter by Jamaica Kincaid. This book is read by Robin Miles. For the Nolans, Kenneth and Paige. Love. And that day, the sun was in its usual place, up above and in the middle of the sky, and it shone in its usual way, so harshly bright, making even the shadows pale, making even the shadows seek shelter. That day the sun was in its usual place, up above in the middle of the sky, but Mr. Potter did not note this. So accustomed was he to this, the sun in its usual place, up above and in the middle of the sky. If the sun had not been in its usual place, that would have made a great big change in Mr. Potter's day. It would have meant rain, however briefly such a thing, rain might fall. But it would have changed Mr. Potter's day, so used was he to the sun in its usual place, way up above and in the middle of the sky. Mr. Potter breathed in his normal way. His heart was beating in its normal way, up and down beneath the covering of his black skin, up and down underneath his white knitted cotton vest next to his very black skin, up and down underneath his plainly woven white cotton shirt that was on top of the knitted cotton vest which lay next to his skin. So his heart breathed in its normal way. And he put on his trousers, and in the pocket of his trousers he placed a white handkerchief. And all this was as normal as the way his heart beat. All this, his putting on his clothes in just that way, as normal as the way his heart beat. The heart beating normally, and the clothes reassuring to Mr. Potter, and to things beyond Mr. Potter, things that did not know they needed such reassurance. Walking to Mr. Scholl's garage to begin his day of sitting in Mr. Scholl's car and taking passengers to and fro. He was a chauffeur. He did not mind being a chauffeur. Mr. Potter took shelter from the sun by walking through narrow streets and alleys. He saw a dog, her breasts distended and swollen, her stomach distended and swollen, lying in the shade of a tree native to some of the dry, vast plains of Africa. But he did not think that this dog, pregnant and weary from carrying her pups, seeking shelter from that sun, was a reflection of any part of him, not even in the smallest way. And Mr. Potter saw a man sitting in his doorway, and this man was blind, but his ears were most sensitive to the sounds of footsteps coming toward him or footsteps going away from him. And when he heard the sounds of feet coming toward him, he got ready to beg the owner of the footsteps for money. This man knew the sound of Mr. Potter's footsteps, and he had never asked the owner of those footsteps for anything of any kind. And seeing the blind man sitting in the doorway with his beggar's cup, seeing the blind man expelling into the ground a mouthful of the thick, sticky white phlegm that had slowly gathered in his throat, Mr. Potter did not think that any part of him was reflected in this sight before him. Going toward Mr. Scholl's garage, Mr. Potter saw a boy going to school. He saw most of the garments one family owned hanging on a string of wire, being dried in that way. He saw a woman smoking a cigarette. He smelled the stink coming from some gray-colored liquid that lay stagnant in the gutter. He saw some birds sitting on a fence. And none of this reminded him of himself in any way. And that was only because everything he saw was so closely bound to him. Between him and all that he saw, there was no distance of any kind. And so Mr. Potter entered Corn Alley and walked down it and then left it altogether. And Mr. Potter turned onto Nevis Street, and he was then at Mr. Scholl's garage. Mr. Scholl was not there, and did not need to be. And on the day Mr. Potter met Dr. Weisinger, the sun was in its usual place, up above and in the middle of the sky, shining in its usual way so harsh and bright, and making the shadows pale, and making the shadows themselves seek shelter, and causing Mr. Potter to make